Right, we're going to look at the Bible together. We're going to carry on with our disciples series. In fact, something that Rich began... Rich is ill, unfortunately, at the moment. So he was going to do all three. But I'm doing this one instead. But do pray for Rich. Jeff is not well as well. He was meant to be leading the meeting this morning. So, yeah, sort of half the elders struck down. But there you go. Here we are. Right, we're going to look at this disciple series. It's a little series, mini series, but about a big subject, about being disciples of Jesus. And Rich did the first two. And it's so important. It's at the heart of the Christian faith. And being a disciple is a word that the Bible uses a lot for Christians. And I think it's helpful, as Rich has been saying, because being a Christian isn't, it is about this, but it isn't just about this. It isn't just about believing things about God and understanding who we are in Christ. But it's an active word, disciple. It's an active word which means learning and growing, being lifelong apprentices of Jesus. It's an active thing, not a passive thing. And maybe for some of us, as we've been thinking about this, or maybe just this morning, it involves a bit of a mind shift, mindset sort of shift for you. You're new to Christianity. Maybe you've been at it for ages. But actually, this idea of being not just something that happened in the past, I became a Christian, but actually I am on a journey. I am growing. I am a lifelong apprentice of Jesus. Let me just pray and... we'll continue. Father God, we do thank you for your words. And even these words this morning of Jesus, which were tough words, but wonderfully helpful, rich words for us. Lord, help us as we consider them. Help us, Lord, speak to us. Help us, give us understanding. Give us understanding, Lord, about what being a disciple of Jesus looks like for us. And if we're here this morning and we're not really sure we are disciples of Jesus, I just pray, Lord, help us to get something from this morning. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've kind of looked at this idea so far in the series about being a disciple. It's about being on a journey. It's about being on a journey from not being a Christian, not knowing Jesus, and then sort of coming to faith in Jesus, learning the basics. But God doesn't want us to stop there, sort of maintenance mode, keeping things ticking over. He wants us to move on and keep growing towards being mature in Christ, keeping making progress towards God being more and more at the center of every part of our lives, pleasing Jesus in everything that we do, loving him, serving others as he wants us to, becoming more like Jesus. Letting every part of our life be shaped by him. And then last time we looked at this a couple of weeks ago, we thought about love God and love people. Such a helpful little phrase. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said they were the greatest two commandments. On the one hand, they are impossible to keep. But actually, Jesus kept them for us. Jesus perfectly loved his Father in heaven, loved others, and as we trust him, as we give our lives to him, we're forgiven of those times when we haven't loved God and loved people as we should. But actually, we're counted in God's sight as if we have done it perfectly. It's called the righteousness of Jesus. It's wonderful. His obedience is counted as ours. And then by his Holy Spirit in us, when we become Christians, he helps us. He helps us to do better and better and to grow in loving God and loving people as we should. And what we're looking at today is the kind of hard part. There's probably obviously more we could say about being disciples of Jesus. But we're looking at the hard part this morning, the cost of being a disciple of Jesus. And I've called it cross-shaped disciples. You'll hopefully see why as we go on. And we're looking at Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 26, some words of Jesus. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" Jesus says to those who want to be his disciples, you need to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Well, I mean, what is Jesus thinking? He surely is going to put people off saying this kind of thing. It's not very appealing. It's not very encouraging. But Jesus wasn't, and in other places as well, Jesus wasn't afraid to be realistic, brutally realistic about the cost of being a disciple of Jesus. And we're going to look at what Jesus means when he says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and why, even though those are hard things, it is worth it. And God will help us. So first of all, deny yourself. And on the one hand, I suppose it's not a message that it's not that common to hear that in our culture. We're more likely to hear things like express yourself, be yourself, love yourself, fulfill your dreams, indulge yourself. Not say no to yourself, which is what Jesus is really saying. But on the other hand, I guess we are familiar with it, really, in the sense that maybe you're doing this at the moment in your life. You know people who are. We do deny ourselves things, good things, because we know there's some greater kind of goal that we have, some greater good, particularly health benefits. It could be other things as well. But loads of people are doing that for health benefits, denying, saying no to that desire for cake or sausage rolls because you want to lose weight, cut down on your cholesterol. I'm trying to do that at the moment. Denying yourself alcohol this month is Sober October, apparently. There's not any dry January, there's Sober October. It's taking over the whole year. Suddenly no one's going to be drinking anything. Saying no to cigarette cravings, obviously health reasons. Saying no to a lion so you can get up and go for a run or go to the gym. And there are actually organisations set up. You may be part of some of them that are helping people deny themselves, like Slimming World and fitness classes and Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's not just for health reasons, is it? Maybe we say, actually, I'm going to deny my spending desires so I can budget and so I can clear some debt. I'm going to deny my desire to have an affair with someone because I value my marriage. I'm going to deny staying late at work every night because I want to spend time with my kids. So we are familiar, really, aren't we, with the idea of denying yourself for the greater good. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Saying no to things that we want to do, even good things. Because we realize, actually, they're not helping us in loving God and loving people. Maybe it's saying no to things we know are wrong to do and say and fantasize about. Because actually, again, they're not helpful. They're doing perhaps the very opposite of loving God and loving people. But I suppose the big question is it worth it? Is this a sort of a greater good that we think, yeah, this is worth denying myself for? Do you believe that it's worth saying no to some of your desires, not indulging everything that you think of or you want to do, because Jesus has got something better for you? And whenever we read in the Bible about something to give up as part of being a disciple of Jesus, it means saying no. But we need to focus on the why. You know, why? That's the thing that's going to keep us going, isn't it? Why are we doing this? What is the greater good? rather than the cost to ourselves. It may cost us. It may cost us in time, in money, in reputation, in discomfort, in perceived happiness. It's about giving up things that are wrong. The Bible calls them sin. But it could be giving up, as I say, good things as well, so we can love God and love people more. Saying no to that extra 20 minutes in bed, that lie-in, not so we can go to the gym, but you may want to go to the gym as well, but maybe we think, actually, I'm going to say no to that extra 20 minutes in bed so I can get up and I can spend time with God today, so I can read the Bible, so I can pray. You can say, actually, I'm going to say no to buying something that I don't really need, so I can say yes to giving some money to someone who needs it more than me. It could be saying no to time to yourself and the night in so that you can say yes to being a blessing to others in a connect group or meeting up with someone who could really do with some support for a coffee. Following Jesus as his disciples is worth everything. Jesus, he denied himself. He left the glory of heaven to be born as one of us. He denied himself, enduring the pain of the cross to bring us back to God. Even just as I'm speaking this morning, I just wonder, is God putting anything into your mind that you need to deny, to say no to give up, so you can follow Jesus better, so you can love God, you can love people better? Maybe good things that you just don't need quite so much of. Maybe sins which you know God in the Bible says, this is wrong, this is not good for you and not good for others. Is God calling you to resist temptation in some area? Take yourself away, take yourself out of some situation where you keep getting yourself into trouble. Just don't go there. Maybe a physical place, maybe people that you hang out with. Are there things that you are over-dependent on for happiness and comfort and security and escape when actually you should be depending on God? Maybe there's something in your mind where you're thinking, actually, no, God, please don't say that. Don't, not that thing, not that thing. Well, maybe that is the thing where the rubber hits the road for you as a disciple of Jesus. Jesus gave up everything for us. And we need to be willing to give up everything for him. We sing it quite easily in some of our songs, don't we? But the rubber hits the road in daily life. We have to give up things so we can love God and love people. It's not easy. But Jesus is not looking to spoil our fun. He knows what's good for us. He wants to help us. Look at this verse, Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Once we've been saved by Jesus, he promises to help us by his grace, by his Holy Spirit, to say no to ungodliness, to worldly passions. He will help us to deny ourselves where we need to and say yes. It's saying no to ourselves so we can say yes to something better, yes to God and his purposes for us. But then Jesus goes a bit deeper with this sort of second phrase, take up your cross. Take up your cross. It's not something totally different. It's really part of the same thing, denying yourself, but it just gives a really important angle on this. And it's a very kind of graphic image. Taking up your cross. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did literally. He was made to carry a wooden cross, or perhaps just a crossbeam, people think, to the execution site before he died. Yes, someone else, Simon, stepped in to take over at some points. But carrying your cross meant you were on the way to death. It was the journey to death. Now we have a similar expression, and it's really, I think it really comes from versions of the Bible that say this elsewhere. We all have our cross to bear. And I suppose People may say that about all sorts of things, you know. But maybe it's like, I've got this really annoying cousin. Oh, we all have our cross to bear. And maybe we just say it about quite small or big difficulties in life. But this is so much bigger what Jesus is saying. Bearing your cross, taking up your cross, it's being en route to die. Jesus is not just saying we need to be prepared to give up a few comforts for him. We need to die to ourselves. We need to be willing to embrace death for Jesus. Maybe literally. Maybe literally. And that's not something we think about a lot in this country, but for many people around the world, many Christians around the world, they're facing the danger of death daily. Places where it's illegal to be a Christian, it's illegal to share the gospel, it's illegal to meet as Christians. Or maybe it's not even illegal, but people, they will be severely persecuted and people are after them. I pray that if that ever happens, if ever I'm in that situation where someone is saying, look, you need to deny Jesus, say something awful about Jesus, or I'm going to kill you. I just pray I would have the strength to be faithful to Jesus in that moment. I know we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who are in that situation. But we might not all face that literally, but we all need to embrace death sort of figuratively. As we say no to our old life of sin, living for ourselves, and yes to this new life of following Jesus as his disciples. And it's not just in this, not just in these words of Jesus here. It comes up all throughout the New Testament. And listen to these words, and actually this little diagram I had up on the screen a few weeks ago when we had the baptisms. The Bible says this in Romans 6, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And I was speaking about this when we had our baptisms a couple of weeks ago, a wonderful occasion. Being a Christian is not just about believing that Jesus died and rose again so you can be forgiven and know God. But actually, there's something more than that happens. It's not just something that we believe, it's something that happens to us. The Bible says that when we trust in Jesus in that way, we are joined together with Jesus. We're united with Jesus so that what happened to him physically happens to us spiritually. So we die with Christ. We die to our old life. And then we are raised with Christ, raised to a new life of following him. And it's something that happens once for all, and we celebrate that when people get baptized. But it's something that we need to keep on living in the light of. We need to, and I guess this is where it comes in. The life of a disciple of Jesus is cross-shaped, always, to the very end. It's always going to be cross-shaped. Not just when we get baptized, but actually the ongoing Christian life is cross-shaped. And we are looking to live that out more and more. We should be. We need to constantly remind ourselves, as it says in that verse, I am dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. When we're tempted to act or speak or think in a way which you know God says is wrong, it's not honoring to God, it's not in line with loving God and loving people, we say, no, that is not who I am anymore. I could do it, yeah, but that's not who I am anymore. That is not me. I have died to the old way of life. I'm living for Jesus. And it will hurt at times. And it will cost us. But the life of a disciple is cross-shaped. And it's hard, and it can be something that we want to react again and want to say, no, that doesn't sound right. I don't like that. I don't want that. Surely that's not the case. Well, funnily enough, just in a few verses before that we didn't read, but just a few verses before when Jesus said these words, Jesus had begun to tell his disciples. You see this in the middle of the Gospels. He begins at one point to tell his disciples, actually, I am on my way to die. I'm going to suffer and be killed, but on the third day rise from the dead. And the disciple, Peter, said, never, Lord. This shall never happen to you. It just jarred with Peter. It's like, no, this doesn't sound right. You know, he had this idea, I guess, that Jesus, the Messiah, the God's promised king who was to come into the world, now he's here, it's wonderful, it's Jesus. He's going to be victorious. He's going to defeat his enemies. He's not going to suffer. No. He is going to be victorious and defeat his enemies, but he's going to do that through suffering. That was God's plan. And Jesus had to tell him, no, Peter, you're wrong. In fact, what Peter said cut across Jesus' mission so much that he said, look, you're speaking the words of Satan here. He said, get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. And we can be like this. When it kind of comes up this morning or occasionally, or we read it in the Bible, the idea that the life of Jesus is cross-shaped, it means self-denial, it means dying to self, it means suffering. It's like, no, I don't want this. No, Lord, surely not. This can't be. But we follow a crucified Savior. We follow in the footsteps of the one who suffered and died for us, who humbled himself as he came from the glory of heaven. We are to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him. When it comes to persecution, Jesus said, no servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Or are we saying we're better than Jesus? Are we saying that actually, oh, it's all right, yeah, Jesus needed to suffer, but I don't need to? These are tough things. But lastly, Jesus says, follow me. It's worth it. It's worth it. Being a disciple means to follow him. It's the same following Jesus. It's the same word in the Bible, from translated from the Greek, as if you were just physically walking behind someone, following them. Many years ago, one of my boys, I was walking them home from school. I might have told this story before, a slightly new angle on it. I was walking home from school. I was obviously not being a very responsible dad. I think the boys were eating ice lollies, and one of them was dragging behind. I guess he looked down, was eating his ice lolly, looked up, saw me in the distance, and just followed me into town. It's from Tesco. Followed me into town, by the river, over the bridge, all the way round to Boots. Except he was following the wrong person. He was following someone totally different. I turned off much earlier. I mean, I did realize very quickly, as I ran through the town shouting his name, like, where's he gone? But he was following. Later on, I can't remember how old he was, but he was quite young. And he just said, I just saw someone who, you know, had your coat. Your coat looked like you. We don't want to find ourselves following the wrong person and getting lost, do we? We're to follow Jesus' leadership. And I think this idea of like following Jesus, it's not just another sort of Christian expression for being a Christian. I think it's something to really take to heart, this idea of following Jesus, walking in his footsteps, following his example. Jesus is our Savior, the Bible says, but he's also our example. We're to grow to be more and more like him, to follow in his steps, follow his leadership, to love God and love people like he did. But what if I don't want to? What if I prefer the idea of self-preservation rather than self-denial? And I guess you can see how that might be the case if you're facing literal death. Well, Jesus says these words, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? And Jesus says, you can't have it both ways. You can't have your cake and eat it. You're either trying to save your own life and do what seems best to you, or you're prepared to hand over the keys of your life, the steering wheel of your life or whatever, to Jesus and let him lead you, let him save you. Jesus is saying, you're either trying to hold on to your life now, but ultimately you will lose it. You will lose it when you die and are separated from God and his goodness forever. Or you're prepared to let go of your life now, give it to Jesus, and you find real life. Life as it's meant to be lived, life that goes on forever. Jesus is saying there's only two ways to live. I hold my life, or Jesus holds my life. Jesus said, what a tragedy it would be if someone spent their life gaining all the things that they want to gain, pleasure, success, comfort, achievements, but actually they lose their soul. They don't have Jesus. Now, of course, there are many comfortable, pleasurable things that we can. God, the Bible says that God has given us all good things for us to enjoy. There's many great, wonderful things that God wants us to enjoy in life and his creation. But they need to be submitted to him. They need to be secondary to him. And we need to be ready to sort of hold them lightly when it comes to following Jesus. But what a tragedy to get to the end of our lives and find actually we've just chosen the wrong things. We've put our trust in the wrong things. We've followed the wrong things or the wrong people. And we've not been willing to give these things up and hold them lightly so we can follow Jesus better. But as we believe and trust in Jesus, as we live out this new life, denying ourselves, taking up our cross, following him, we find life, Jesus says. True life, real life, life to the full, as Jesus calls it elsewhere. Not necessarily a life that will be respected by everyone. People will think we're doing the wrong thing. People will think we're making foolish choices. People will think we're wasting our lives, our money, our time, our opportunities. But Jesus goes on to say, a couple of verses later, he will reward, verse 27, he will reward each person according to what they have done. And the costs that we have paid in this life, Jesus sees them. Jesus knows them. Maybe you're going through a really tough time at the moment and you are going through a tough time because you know you're trying to follow Jesus and you're trying to do the right thing. Be encouraged. Just because we must never think that just because I'm suffering and life is hard, I must be doing something wrong. I'm not living in victory. Well, Jesus says we will suffer as we seek to live for him. It's tough words. It's tough words from Jesus. We can't get away from that. But we need to think, how am I going to respond to this? Maybe you feel God is bringing something to mind this morning, an area of life where you think, actually, I know God is calling me to deny myself so I can live out more of that cross-shaped life of discipleship. Maybe all of us need to ask God, Lord, I can't think of anything. Maybe I don't want to think of anything. But Lord, please show me. And we can all take time, can't we, to say, Lord, I don't like this kind of prayer, but Lord, please will you show me if there's an area of life where I need to give up something, deny myself so that I can live for you better. Maybe you're someone with those scars of having suffered for Jesus. Keep going. It's worth it, Jesus says. And maybe you're here as someone this morning who hasn't given their life to Jesus, begun following him. I hope you haven't been put off by this. Jesus is wanting you to be realistic. Yeah, you don't become a Christian and suddenly all your problems go away. You get new problems because you're a Christian. But actually, it's the most wonderful thing in the world. It's what we were made for. It's right and good to be a Christian. And there's a deep joy and a deep fulfillment. And just to know that we are doing what we're meant to be doing. And God is with us through all these difficulties. Jesus says, come and follow me. I'm offering you true life. I will help you. Well, let me finish with these words that Jesus said to those who had given up In fact, they said, we've given up everything to follow you. And this is what Jesus said, Mark 10, verse 29. Truly, I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me, and you will find life, real life. Let's just have a moment to respond, and worship team are going to come up, and it'd be good to respond a little bit in prayer, but also as we sing together a song about Jesus being enough, and that we want to commit ourselves to following him, whatever it takes. But let's just pray for a moment, just be quiet, maybe just take a moment in silence to just think, maybe to ask God, Lord, what do you want to say to me through this? And if you feel we know what God is saying to us, say, Lord, I don't want to forget about this. Help me to take whatever steps I need to and not forget. Let's just speak to the Lord in our hearts for a moment. Lord, I do pray that you might shine your light into our lives, shine that spotlight into our lives to highlight things where we need to deny ourselves and take up our cross so we can follow you better. Lord, areas where we need to love you more, areas where we need to love and serve others better. Lord, we don't like asking you this kind of thing, and we dread what you might say. But Lord, we just thank you that, Lord, when we know that you have spoken, then Lord, we know it comes with the strength and the help to do it. Lord, please help us. Help us to know what you're saying to us. Just thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you did for us, the lengths you went to, the sacrifice you made out of love for us, so we could live life with you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.